That requires a motivation to say, oh, I need to check myself. I need to ask some really deep questions about myself. I need to really be honest with myself with respect to, am I really saved? Am I really a Christian? Have I really given myself over completely? Have I given up on the world? Have I given up on myself, control of myself? Have I died to myself as it calls for in Scripture, as Christ called for us, that we are to die of ourselves? Have I really died to myself, or do I still hold the reins of things that I want to do, that I want to continue? And again, I'm reflecting this gentleman's conversation with me. I'm paraphrasing. Am I clinging to things of the world? Do I still want to go back to normal life with respect to the whole COVID discussion? Do you strive for some sense of normalcy returning in the world? You see, there isn't the real separation for that individual from the world. They haven't purposefully shunned the world and pushed the world away. They haven't changed their value system with regard to the world. Thus, they haven't changed the value system in their mind and in their heart. They need to go to the point, and you and I have experienced this. We're talking from having been there, down at the very bottom, down at the very, very pit of ourselves, and said, Lord, I give up my life. I die to myself, I die to the world. Do with me as you want. You've described it as that point of anguish in life. And this is the humbleness. This is getting down on the knees. This is where you truly, in the depths of your heart, of who you really are, you get humble. And it takes a lot for people who are still tied to the world and all of, you know, the physical, the material, the ego, to push all that away and say, yes, I am humbling myself. That's hard to do. I know from my own experience. But God knew what it, in my case, what it would take, and that was stripping everything away from my life to force me to be humble before Him. That's because I was very stubborn. But it happened. And I think in varying ways and varying methods and degrees, when God calls upon a person and He knows their heart, down at the depth of their heart, down at their DNA, if you will, He's chosen you. He knew you before He created you. So He knew that you were worthy. And He just wanted you to get to that point of recognition that you are worthy in His mind and turn yourself over to Him. And then He could work with you. You're writing furiously, so I better stop because you're at the end of the page.
Another blank page.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, none of us are worthy. None of us. And with respect to this man that we were speaking to today in Sweden, Dan, I think the reason why we sometimes question, Lord, are we really saved, is because we're realizing that this is a very lonely path of understanding. You may be the only one, not just in your family, but in your town or in your block or whatever, you know, immediate area, geographically, familiarly, that has this understanding. So it's a very lonely path when you realize and understand that by following this understanding, it's going to take you in a direction that is completely opposite of the way the world is going.
Yep.
And that requires another level of faith. And you might have thought that you had more time. You know, you needed to build up your faith a little bit more. You probably needed to go and experience some things a little bit more. But boom, the end of the world, as foretold by Scripture, is upon us.
Has arrived.
And then you're like, oh no. And so when we understand this, we try, you know, like I've often thought to myself, it's nothing that we can do, and yet there is something we can do. And that is the humbling unto ourselves and the repentance that needs to come. And for those who were designed by God and who have the royal lineage, because that's really what it is. When you are a part of the royal family of God, the one true, only Alpha and Omega.
The King of Kings.
King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When you want to be grafted into his family, to be grafted in means you have to be broken off. So it means that you have had to come to a point of brokenness in your life where you were broken off from everything that you knew and everyone that you knew in order to be grafted in to the family of God. And many of us are experiencing this now because of the time that we're in. But for some of us, you know, when I remember, and I do remember, and I'm not going to diss this because I think it was part of God's plan for us to kind of come through a process and be able to look back and see where it was where he was developing us in a closer walk with him. Many of us remember the first time that we said the so-called recipe prayer, the sinner's prayer. And I say it not in a mocking way, but it wasn't the words on a page.
Right.
Because if people just said those words and then joined their neighborhood church where they've been for 40 years and, you know, tithe every month and do all the church things, they're in a club. They're paying dues.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to go to potluck suppers and Bible studies and prayer meetings and worship services and be a part of the good club.
Mm-hmm.
A big group of good club people. So, and I say that because I did it for years myself. But there came a point in my life when I heard that sinner's prayer and I thought, it came at a time where I wasn't looking for the Lord. Honestly, I was enjoying my life. I wasn't, you know, I believed in God. I was brought up, I'm Irish, I was brought up Catholic. I went to Catholic schools. I had an understanding of who Jesus was. I had catechism classes. I had religion classes and all through high school. But it's kind of like God was ethereal. He was out there. And he was watching over everybody and taking care of everybody. And if you were good, this is my understanding, if you were good, he'd take care of you. If you were bad, well, you're going to get in trouble and things were going to happen. But it wasn't until I had had a first encounter as a young adult when I was this gentleman who and his wife, who I loved and respected, said to me, Kathleen, do you really want to know who Jesus is? And I said, yeah, I do. I said, I talk to God all the time. Do you want to know him deeper? And I said, yes. And so he led me in a prayer similar to the sinner's prayer, but not written out in a specific
right.
form.
Right.
And that was the start of something changing in me. You know, if I could liken it to something, people that go to, from what I understand, that go to AA, you know, they would have this Mm-hmm. Prayer that they would read, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, blah, blah, blah. You see it, you know.
Yep.
And they would say things, and they would say in AA that the first step to recovery is to admit that you're an alcoholic. And if you can get to that point, then you can begin the process.
Yeah, you can make
progress. All of us were presented with Jesus that claimed to be Christians, the point where we were saying, are you a sinner? That AA, it's are you an alcoholic?
Mm-hmm.
Or Al-Anon, or I forget, I don't know.
It's AA, yeah.
But they would get to that point where they had to admit that they were an alcoholic. Well, we have to come to the Lord and admit that we're a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, that's when the recovery process starts. But it comes by way of confession and repentance.
Yep.
So, but that's a time span for however many years or months or days it is for people.
Yep.
So to be led to think that by saying a specific prayer and your father was a pastor and his father was a pastor and you married a pastor and your son's a pastor and everybody's a pastor and a minister and a gospel lover. Wrong. They're not. They are not. They got to a point where they loved the idea of God and Jesus, but nothing in their lives changed. That's why so many denominations and religions, not just Christian, religions have given, our precursor video highlights all of the religions in the world that have given themselves and their congregations over to this mark of the beast. Because they didn't love the truth. They didn't go that deeper route.
Mm-hmm.
Route, I should say. When I look back now on my life, and I remember the time that I said the sinner's prayer. That was, oh, I don't know, 25 years ago.
A long time ago.
We'll just say 25 years ago. And I went to, you know, Christian churches and sang Christian songs, and, you know, I did take steps to change my life to be more devout, which is a good thing. But it didn't change me entirely. I still held on to ways in things that I did and ideas. And sometimes, I even took advantage of grace. Doing something that I know was sinful and saying, oh Lord, forgive me, I know it's wrong, but I want to do it and I'll repent later. Ooh. But we've all done it. And he's up there and he's like, uh-huh. So what would, and we would have kept doing that. We would have kept doing it. But when I got to a point where the brokenness happened in my life, I mean broken. That was in the last 10 years. That's when I truly wanted to be completely reborn again in the manner that Nicodemus was taught by Jesus. In other words, whatever it takes.
Right.
To make me more like you, I want that more than anything. I can work with that, God says. That's what I want. Have you had enough of this world that you want to taste and see that the Lord is good? Enter into my presence, my son, my daughter. And so when you say, am I really saved? That's when God said to me a few years ago, he showed me the image in my mind of him between the two thieves on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who was on the right and who was on the left, but I'll just say for this instance, there was a thief on the right and a thief on the left. And the one to Jesus' left kept saying, well, if you're the Son of God, get yourself down from here and get us down from here. And he was bitter and angry and perishing. But then the man on the right, and remember, these men were literally, the blood was just, they were dying. They were speaking, and it was hard for them to speak. They were dying. And the man looked and he saw something in Jesus. He didn't know what it was, but there was something about him. And there was an understanding. And he looked to him, and he said to the man on the left, this man hanging on the right, said, "We deserve what we're getting." But he doesn't. And he knew, just like we know, that this is the mark of the beast. He knew somehow in his spirit, just by observing the man, Jesus. And he said, what was it that he had said? He had said, "Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus simply said to him, "I tell you, this day, you will be with me in paradise." And what did he do? What words did he say that are recorded for us for all time? He acknowledged that he was a sinner. He acknowledged he was a thief. That the punishment of his life was deserving. Yep. He knew he broke the law. And he was paying for it with his very life. There was no way out of it. There was no redemption. Yet he had a fear of God in him. And when he saw Jesus, he recognized the Son of God.
In his moment of anguish.
It was like when Jesus said to his apostles, "Who do they say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ." And I think it was to Simon Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you."
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit came upon that thief and told him so that he had an understanding. He sensed this because the strength of the Spirit upon Jesus at that time, that was totally the Holy Spirit. He was transitioning from that physical body into his spiritual existence. He was right there. And that Holy Spirit went out from Jesus. And it touched the man on the right, but it didn't move the man on the left. And so when Jesus saw that his Father's Spirit, even as he was dying, was going out to people, to those who were watching, the witness, the testimony, his followers, his disciples, this man came to the end of his life in total brokenness. Then the Holy Spirit was able to minister truth to him, and he knew it.
And that's what it took.
And that's what's happening now in our time. Our born again experience was not the sinner's prayer.
Yeah. It was hanging on the cross.
It was coming to the point of an almost brokenness, a type of death in each and every one of us, whether it came through a divorce or whatever it was. But that brokenness is where God began to minister truth.